DB, DB, we're
We're
back.
back,
We're
baby.
back. Let's go. Let's go. It's been since October 1st that we recorded our last pod.
We haven't had any
So,
regular season.
haven't had any going on in the regular season. Haven't had any. Let me just get my notifs turned off real quick. Throw myself on Do Not Disturb. There we go. We're all good. Haven't had any regular season talk. Haven't had any pod. You know, we took a break. We'll get into that at some point. We'll dive into that in some pod, and it'll
You
come up.
know, just some
Yeah,
unfortunate circumstances.
it's as unfortunate as fucking Josh Allen's last Bills game, but
Yeah, I
we're ready to
know.
go.
The last time we recorded this podcast, your football team is the Super Bowl like contenders, and right now they're
Favorites,
looking
yep.
like a bu I don't know. And look at my team. Wow.
Wow, look at the Jets. Wow. So we're going to start off talking about football on the hockey podcast today. So DV, how have you been? I know how you've been. Nobody
I
else
mean,
knows how. I mean,
I've been pretty good, just, working my ass off. We've been, we took a long break from here, and we've just been trying to, figure out what's going on with ringside. And I think we're starting to figure it out a little bit more. We're obviously finding the time now to record for us, and we have a website now, ringsidepod.com, so you'll be able to see our articles. I believe when this essay, or not essay, this episode comes
episode.
out, yeah, this episode comes out, that you'll have a couple articles maybe. We'll see. But the
That's
domain's up. Here we go.
quick work. That's quick work if we can get some episodes out or some fuck me.
Yeah,
Oh,
some
it's
F
been
yeah,
oh
exactly.
we're a
Some
little we're a
articles
little
out.
we're a little fucking we're a little behind here. We
Yeah,
gotta
I
get
know.
we gotta
We haven't done this in a minute.
we haven't. We've seen each other a few times. I moved. So DB came over, hung out, talked about the pod, talked about everything. I think we both really like our plan going forward, and we're looking at delivering some results,
Yeah,
So
100%. I mean, yeah, we might not be popular right now, but hopefully sometime soon we can get that following that we want.
yeah, no, I completely agree. I think we had a very different goal. Originally for this time of the year than where we're looking, because taking that month off was, it was necessary but didn't help. But we're ready to go. So I don't have the standings in front of me. I don't have a computer at my disposal at the moment. It's in the other room charging up. So DB, I'm gonna need your help a little bit. I'll ask for some assists, but let's start out with
Yeah,
the guy
hold
I really
up.
want to talk about. Okay, DB's gonna get this shit set up, but the guy I really want to talk about, Eric Carlson.
Yeah. That was
Yeah.
a very, I wouldn't say unexpected thing. It was just, I didn't expect it. I thought he was kind of on the back end already, like, he had his days in Ottawa and he was just gonna bounce team from team, but goddamn, he has proved me wrong.
Yeah, and he's made it, so now maybe he will bounce to a new team. He makes a lot of
Well,
money. I think he's 11. Is he 11-5? I think he's 11-5.
yeah, it's 11-5. It's 11-5. Yeah.
And he's
Okay.
got
I have the standings. Hold up. I have the standings. Do you want them?
perfect. In a second, we'll run through Carlson real quick, and then we'll get to the standings. But yeah, I mean, he makes 11-5. He's having an incredible year right now. He's revitalizing, his career. He's reviving his career. He's showing the Erik Karlsson that he once was, and he's showing that he's when he's healthy. He can go with the best of them. He can be the best in the league. And right now, very early into the season, a lot of teams are around that 15-game mark. I'm going Erik Karlsson's my Norris favorite,
I
without a
like
doubt.
that.
He's everybody's Norris's favorite right now. And the success story that it would get, Cale Makar's great, right? Noah Dobson's having a real good year too so far. I want to throw that one out there. But
Don't get me started already. Come on,
don't
we're just first
DB on the
episode
Isles plug.
back.
DB on the Isles plug. All right, speaking of the Isles, I know they're in a playoff spot, so let's what are your thoughts on
What do you want? I mean, okay, on Carlson
Yeah, you
myself,
think
okay.
I'll do you one better before
I
no, I'll
asked
get
you
your
that. No,
thoughts
I
first.
asked you this question. I asked you this question a couple weeks ago. Is Erik Karlsson a Hall of Fame defenseman? And
Imagine.
at the time, he wasn't having. I mean, he had a great start, but he wasn't. He wasn't keeping it going. And I'm like, the Sharks haven't played really bad hockey.
Poor. Sharks are pissed poor.
I mean, but
now
they're pissed poor. Yeah, right now they're pissed poor, and he's still putting up points.
Yeah, so.
I mean, they beat the Knights last night. Fuck Thomas Hertl. Fuck Thomas Hertl.
Yeah, DB's down. DB's down bad in the gambling corner. We were going to add a little gambling segment with DB, but I think we need to win a little bit first here. Yeah, so Erik Karlsson, when you asked me that question, and this could be recency bias speaking now, right? So when you answered that question, I wasn't 100% sure. You know, I could have went either way, and I still could go either way. Right now, I'm going Erik Karlsson's a Hall of Fame defenseman. But, and this isn't a huge determining factor, no cups. So
that's what I was going to go into. I think that matters. And not necessarily, but I don't feel like Karlsson's career is a career that could have boosted him to be a Hall of Fame player without the cups.
If Erik Karlsson was healthy his whole career, the numbers would be
the numbers would show exactly incredible. But
because he has good numbers but
he wouldn't have those he wouldn't have the games played either, which I mean in the grand scheme of things still puts him on pace to be a good point per game or high point per game player, but he doesn't have that longevity degree in it because of his injuries. I mean, when you're sitting out 20-30 games a season, sometimes half a season, it just doesn't look good.
No, not at all. You know, he's injury prone and that could keep him out. But without the cups, here's what else I'm thinking though. Look at the two cup runs he's been on though. Those haven't necessarily been these amazing teams. You know,
and he carried them. He 100% carried them.
There's one thing that comes to mind to me whenever I think of Erik Karlsson. And it's not any time in Ottawa, because you know, yeah, I knew him in Ottawa, I watched in Ottawa, but I was still younger. Throughout high school, you know, he was playing on San Jose and throughout half of high school, I guess, the second half. But I remember that power play against Vegas and him on the point, just commanding the whole thing. And San Jose came back and scored, I think, was it three or four?
Yeah, it wasn't on that 5 minute. Yeah, that 5 minute major.
And he just commanded the ice and he showed, this is why I am what I got, what fucking San Jose gave up. This is why they gave that up, including Josh Norris. This is why San Jose gave all that up for me to come here and play. And then, you know, he misses part of the season injured. They don't win the cup that year. They don't win the cup in his run in Ottawa. You know, they're a couple cups short, I think, because the goaltending has never been there. He's never played on a team where he's had great goaltending that's allowed him to truly be the OFD that he is and not have to worry about getting back to help out. And I think if you move him to a team like any possible team that he would get moved to right now, then that's something we're really going to be looking at. Is
what I'm hearing is Ottawa. There might be another Ottawa reunion, which is the same issue though.
Same issue. You're playing with fucking injured Cam Talbot and Anton Forsberg, who have played well. Ottawa's what, 4-9-1, 4-8-1,
5-9-1.
Look at that! I'm pretty close. And they play Buffalo tonight in Ottawa, so we'll see how that goes after Buffalo's shit game last night. I don't know.
The Sabres are in a six game just.
Sabres
cold
are skidding.
Spell.
Sabres are skidding. Oh wow! Look,
they start off
look at their
7-3, dude. They start off seven and three.
I know. I thought it was going to be a great year, but then you look in net and you realize,
yeah,
they don't 100%. Have fucking goaltending. You know, same thing with there's a few teams throughout the league right now. The one that's really intriguing me for being so low in the standings still is Columbus.
Yeah, they just got a win last night against Philly. I watched that overtime game,
they lost.
Oh, what do you mean? Oh, yeah, Merzlikins. Yeah, no, he lost Merzlikins. Yeah.
Merzlikins. And I think Boquist was Boquist didn't play last night. Boquist was already out, but they lost Merzlikins. So now they got Bean out, Boquist out, Werenski done for the year, Merzlikins out. And you're playing fucking Matthew Olivier in the NHL.
Yeah, no, dude, I think that Columbus shouldn't have won that game last night, honestly. Like, watching how the Flyers play, watching how Carter Hart played. He got that win stole off him.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that Kevin Hayes turnover in overtime last night, I wouldn't say it was pretty bad. It caused a 3-on-1, and I mean, just a, you know, solid tic-tac-toe goal. Carter Hart's just scrambling all over everywhere just to get to the save. And he was close, but goddamn, it sucks to see that happen to him. He's been having such a great year for him to lose a win like that, a win that he deserved, I should say.
Yeah, he's having an incredible year, and that did suck. You know, I didn't catch overtime, but I caught a couple period and a half of that game, and I mean, Philly just...
Like, the first goal of the game, he got scored on by his own team.
Yep, yeah, it's nuts. It really, you know, I mean, talk about a guy who's really had a great year so far, too, in terms of turning the, you know, he's turning around the story, you know, through the last few years. Been, oh, Carter Hart, shit, oh, Carter Fart, Carter this, Carter that, he's not good. Well, he's turned around the story. He's looked pretty good right now. So, you know, I really hope that stays, and when Philly's good, hockey's good. You said this to me the other day.
I 100% agree. You obviously, because I said that,
It was in a very different conversation than we're having right now, but it was about Connor Bedard.
Yeah.
Here we are pumping the Flyers tires on the pod, but behind the scenes, we're like, man, maybe they get Bedard. So, what are they, 11-4, some shit like that? What are they?
No, 7-6-3.
Oh, 7-6-3. They started out the year good, though. 13-3 is New Jersey. I think Boston's 14-2 now.
Yeah, 14-2.
Yeah, they were talking about eating my fucking words from the beginning of the year. I know that stuff still turns around, but in order to go 500, New Jersey would have to lose 10 games in a row, and Boston would have to lose 12 in regulation to go 500, which is about what I had them in our predictions before the season. Maybe I had New Jersey in. I can't remember.
We're going to have to like go back.
We'll go back at the halfway point of the year in 26 games for some.
I have the Islanders missing the playoffs. So,
It still can't score, but you know,
what do you mean? I'm looking at it right now. They have their second in the whole Metro division in goals for.
Oh, DB. Three, yeah.
Does three off the boys Devils buzzing? Too. Three off the Devils. The Devils are first. The Islanders are second.
Jeez, the Devils have been real nasty too. Islanders, Devils. All right, let's get into the Metro. We'll start with the Metro for you. Let's give me the standings.
All right, so we got the Devils with 13-3. They are at 26 points. Then you got the Islanders at 11-6 with 22 points. Then we have the Hurricanes, who are 10-5-1 with 21 points. The Rangers, who are 8-6-3 with 19 points. The Flyers, who are 7-6-3 with 17 points. The Caps are 7-9-2 with 16 points. The Pens are 6-7-3 with 15 points. And the Jackets are 5-9-1 with 11 points.
The Penguins are fucking below 500. That is music to my ears.
I think this might be the year where we see no Caps, no Pens in the playoffs.
It's almost like I think we both fucking predicted this. No, but I don't know if we predicted the Pens, but I know we there was talk about the Caps. Listen, Ovechkin's playing without Backstrom. That's hurting them. They're an old team that's injured as fuck. I don't think Wilson's played yet this season.
No, he hasn't played yet.
Oshie's
sitting
injured.
On that fucking IR slot, baby.
Your fantasy IR. I had McAvoy for a while. Now I got Norris and Seth Jones. But yeah, that division is nuts. That always is a nuts division. You can never really predict it. I mean, Columbus, I didn't see Columbus being last this year. I saw him sneaking into the playoffs, and maybe they do, but fuck, not with those injuries. Werenski's done for the year.
I obviously just don't think Johnny Gaudreau, I mean, I don't think he made the bad like decision, but Columbus was a very big crapshoot to jump into, and that just, I feel was like it? Is definitely – a big, I don't know. It's just so shocking to see them at 5-9-1 already. 15 games in, and
you can let me know if I'm wrong on this one, but I think it's a bet on the future. I think Gaudreau went there as a bet on the future.
But what future?
Sillinger, Johnson, Juracek, Matejchuk.
Yeah, never mind. You're right. That's a good future.
Matejchuk went there. Yeah, Mintikov went to Anaheim. Matejchuk went to went to Columbus.
You're right,
and then in net, that's the question. You know, Merzlikins isn't healthy right now. So if he's healthy in the future, is he still the guy? I don't know.
I think it's a bit. I just thought apparently Johnny Gaudreau comes out and says the Islanders never even spoke to him. Common Lou L makes sense. I mean, so I'm not as mad knowing that because, you know, it makes sense. I've always was sitting there like he just couldn't get the job done. And seeing him kind of speak the frustrations out already in Columbus, it's a little concerning, but I wouldn't say it's something obviously too concerning because you're 15 games into his Blue Jackets debut. But I just it's just leaving a weird taste in my mouth. I really think that maybe Johnny Hammond should have stayed in Calgary.
Oh, nice. Leaving a little weird taste in your mouth. I like it. I heard Johnny does that to people. So, yikes. I had to put the podcast filter back on. Sorry, everyone. It's been a while. I do agree. But then Calgary's not doing too great. So, what gives, you know? Were those all the right moves? Because there's only one person who moved anywhere involving Calgary, whether to Calgary or from Calgary, that's had a real good season so far. And his name is Matthew Tkachuk, and he's playing in Florida. Let's get into the Atlantic.
The Atlantic Division. So we're sitting here with the Bruins up top, 14-2 with 28 points. Fucking then we got Christ. The Leafs at 9-5-3 with 21 points. The Panthers at 9-6-1 with 19. The Lightning at 9-6-1 with 19. The Wings at 7-5-4 with 18. The Canadiens at 8-7-1 at 17. The Saves at 7-9 with 14. And the Senators are 5-9-1 with 11 points.
There we go. There's some Sens. Some Sens are real running it. Man, I thought Giroux and DeBrin.
I don't even know how to respond to that. I mean, the Bruins, I 100% agree. I think it's their division for the year, obviously. I just don't think you can. I know it's so early, but goddamn, 14-2.
Let's look at this. I agree with you because let's break it down, right? You got an aging core. I don't think Marchand started day one. Marchand was out from the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. McAvoy just came in about two or three games ago. So you're missing two key pieces, and you still managed to put on this incredible record to start the year. They are looking really nice. They have more than enough guys on the back end. I mean, enough where Mike Riley's fucking going to get moved somewhere, whoever wants him. I mean, he's not going to play in the AHL. He just got waived. They're not going to put him in the A, they've said. They said they're going to hold him until they get a move. So someone's going to bite because he's a good defenseman. But, I mean, a little overpaid, but a good defenseman. And Boston looks good. Who takes that bite? Probably a team that's a little banged up on the back end. You know,
The
Leafs aren't taking that bite. They want Chychrun. Ottawa is another team, but they used to have Mike Riley, so I don't see that happening. You gotta really look into, you know, I mean, but who's got money? That's the other thing. You know, does Colorado want a Mike Riley at half retained? No, because they want to be in on Kane come deadline. Does, you know, who else is really banged up? Does Florida want Mike Riley? He didn't play for Florida. Does Florida want Mike Riley? You know, Ekblad a little banged up. Back end looks atrocious in terms of when you look on paper. You know, does a team like Tampa want him? Who, you know, if they can get him half, if they can get money off, you know, it'll really depend. But money's going to have to come off for it to go to a really good team. Otherwise, we're looking at, you know, a team that should have been better than they are.
Do we see the Wings stepping in?
I don't know, dude, because the Wings made a lot of changes this summer to their decor.
Yeah, but do they still need a decor is what they're saying. Like, what I'm trying to say, like, they got
Mike Riley wouldn't be bad.
Olimata?
I like Olimata.
I do, too. That's what I'm saying. That's the comparison that I'd put Mike Riley to, but I think they're a little bit different aspects, too, obviously.
Yeah, I think Riley makes about $1.5 million to $2 million more.
Yeah.
If not even more than that. Riley might make four. I think he makes 3-4, but he might make four.
Okay.
But yeah, it's an interesting – Detroit could be one. That's a good call, though. I don't know, because when you look at the league, it's like, well, people could use him, but we're looking at a cap that hasn't gone up, you know, that might go up soon, but in terms of what you're, if you're a team that's in the playoffs, aren't you kind of holding off on making any of those moves because Patrick Kane's going to be available come deadline and going to be $5 million? Or if you use a third team, he might be 2.5. But, you know, you can get him down to 5 from just Chicago. So, you know, I mean.
Okay, okay. Who's in on this Kane sweepstakes? Who do you think?
I think there's going to be a team. Pulls the trigger. I think there's going to be a team that's going to do some really crazy work to bring him in just for the end of the season to finally win their cup. You're going to call me nuts.
Who?
Boston. They sniff around.
Who do they get rid of? Who do they get rid of? Mike Riley's a start. Yeah, that's a start.
DB, you can use a third team. Here's the thing, right?
Oh, you're right.
And if you wait till the deadline, and Patrick Kane makes it obvious he's not going back. Obviously, he's not going back. Why would he? Why the fuck? I know he wants to break the records there, but why would he re-sign in Chicago? You know, unless he's clinically insane. But maybe he is. Maybe he is. He's won 2 cups there. He's got his cups done. 3 cups. 2010, 2012, 2014. 20.
Yep.
Right? Did they do 12 and 14, or did they do 13? And
14? Regardless, he's won his cups. Regardless, he's won his cups.
He's got 3 cups. Does chasing one more matter to him for his legacy, or does being the greatest Chicago Blackhawk in NHL history matter more? So who knows? But if he doesn't plan on coming back to Chicago, or if he does plan on going back to Chicago, either way, look at Claude Giroux in Philly. He made it known he wasn't going to come back. And even if he was going to return, they needed to maximize their assets for him. And all they got was okay first, Owen Tippett, who's been good for them, a couple guys who have played in the NHL and now signed overseas. And I think, was there a second or a third, maybe? I don't even think so. That's all they got. It was nothing. So for Patrick Kane, and Giroux got retained. For Patrick Kane, I don't know what they're going to be able to get after returns like that. They'll get a little bit more, but it's not going to be 3 firsts, your top prospect, and, you know, like the fucking superstar package, like if the Coyotes made a move for Matthews. But, you know, it's not going to be like a 3 first kind of thing, you know, or like the Chychrun deal was looking like. It was going to be a first, a high-end prospect, and a former first-round pick kind of deal, or 2 firsts, you know, but or a first, 2 big-end prospects. I doubt that's what's going to be Chychrun's going to get. We talked about this together the other day in a possible. We talk about it in a very different sense. We talk about it looking at Matthews. But the Leafs are interested in Chychrun. What would you want back if you were the Yotes moving Chychrun to a team out east?
That's awesome, Matthews.
Okay. Let's be realistic.
But obviously, I know. I mean, realistically, you're giving up a top-pairing left-shot defenseman.
Who's on a very good contract with a couple years left.
Yes, that too. And he puts up points. He puts up points. Plays.
Seems like a leader.
Okay. 100%. I think he is a leader, obviously. And I wouldn't be scared if the Coyotes held on to him and, you know, just let him play the rest of his contract and then left him for nothing. Just to, you know, put asses in seats. But, you know, that's not the ideal plan. You want to sell now so you can get your assets to make yourself good later. But I just, I don't know what someone, obviously you're getting a first round pick, maybe a mid to high tier prospect and a known NHLer.
What do you think about this one? Chychrun to Toronto for Nyes, a first, and Sandin.
I think that's a no-brainer.
I think you.
I think Matthew Nyes leaves University of Minnesota at the end of the season if he fucking gets traded to the Coyotes.
Who's his line mate in Minnesota right now?
Logan Cooley.
Yeah, so the fucking Coyotes should be thinking about this any day of the week. And Nyes is a hometown kid. He can bang. He can score.
Just Arizona hockey, baby. You know we love our Arizonians, but I don't know. You can't think of it realistically until it actually happens. Because what is Bill Armstrong asking for Chychrun?
If I'm Bill Armstrong, well, he was asking for a first, a high-end prospect, and then a first-round value player. or two firsts and a high-end prospect. The equivalent of three first-round picks, basically.
Yes.
But a first-round player, I mean, fuck. Nashville could call and say, hey, we'll do Tomasino a first and Michael McCarron. He was a first-round pick. So I think they want a first-round value guy, like a Sandin, who is a value later first-round pick, in my opinion.
100%.
So what if they look to Montreal? What if they say, okay, we want a first, which never is going to happen. We want a first. We want Caden Gould or Matthias Norlander. Or Philip Massar or Kirby Doc. Kirby Doc would be the third guy. And then like Doc, Ghoul, and a first. That's what I would ask. Something like that. Obviously, that's an overpayment for Montreal. I get it. Don't shit on me. Not you.
I know. Yeah.
You know. Yeah. So I don't know. Another team. I mean, there's so many teams that all 31 teams beside, you know, the Coyotes, all 32 teams, including the Coyotes, should be interested in Chychrun. There is not a single team in the NHL that should say, no, I don't want him. He makes $4.6 million a year. Make room for him. He is a stud on the blue line, you know? So, yeah.
Do you see St. Louis making the play for him? Nick Leddy's older. He's that left shot defenseman that plays the top 4 minutes. I know St. Louis is a dungeon feeder and just everything, but do you think St. Louis could pull some strings?
I could see it happening because there's like four teams in the NHL that are always involved and you can never put it past them. There are five teams that are usually involved, but four teams that are always.
Vegas, St. Louis.
Five teams that are always. Vegas. Yeah, I forgot about Vegas. Vegas, the Avs, St. Louis, their names pop up around everybody. The Rangers name pop up around everybody. And typically Toronto you hear, but I think that's just the media. The Islanders.
Fuck you.
They do. Every fucking big name that's out there. Those are the four teams, five teams, sorry.
Yeah, why are the Islanders interested in Jacob Chychrun? Your top four is locked up for fucking.
Oh, no, I wasn't saying. No, DB, don't worry.
No, I know, but no, I know. No, they are. They are, though. They were put in on the rumors.
Yeah. Because they're the first team, but Chychrun can put pucks in from the back end.
Yeah, but then that removes a guy like Romanov down to the third pairing.
Romanov's, yeah. I wouldn't absolutely hate that. He plays a lockdown role that contrasts well with Dobson, though. So you're looking at moving one of the P&P at that point if you bring in Chychrun. Because let's think about it, right? You bring in Chychrun. If you bring a guy like Jacob Chychrun, you really don't just want him for those 2 or 3 years left on his contract. I think it's 3 right now. Maybe it's 2. I know it's
definitely... I think it's two.
You don't just want him for those couple years. You want him long term. You want that contract to, you know, as soon as you can sign him to extension, which if it is 2 years, is going to be July 1st of this upcoming year, you sign him to that fucking extension. That's what you want. You don't want to have a guy just come in for 2 years and then, okay, well, we'll see ya. So a team like Florida makes sense having lost Mackenzie Weegar, and Chychrun's from Florida. Chychrun's born in Florida. So I know I said, I know I said Florida for Mike Riley, but for Chychrun, it makes the most sense. But the Coyotes have been asking for Spencer Knight, which would be incredible.
Wow.
That's been the asking price. We've been getting hung up on. But then they dropped Spencer Knight last year. They said, okay, we don't need Spencer Knight. Give us Anton Lindell. And Florida said no. So now the Coyotes drafted Logan Cooley. They drafted Connor Geeky. They have Barrett Hayton. They have Nick Schmaltz. They're fine down the middle. It's time to get wingers. So we don't need Lindell or goaltenders or even high-end defensive prospects.
Yeah, do you think Veggie sticks with the Coyotes? Do you think he's that dude?
I like Veggie, but I don't think he's not a goalie.
I think he's a tandem type of goalie.
I think so too, but he's very good. He's been very good for the shit Yotes, so that's been nice. Speaking of the shit Yotes, let's hit the Central.
Okay, I'm not going to say their records, but so at first we got the Stars with 20 points, then we got the Jets with 19, the Avs with 17, the Wild with 16, the Blackhawks with 15, the Preds with 15, the Yotes with 13, and the Blues with 12.
Yeah, let's go Preds and David Poyle.
So why are the Coyotes still kind of in a spot?
Yeah, they're in a good spot. That Central is shit this year.
I know. It's so funny to me, too. I think that St. Louis being last is kind of deserved, but also not. I mean,
the Wild thing, dude. They beat the Avs the other day. They beat the Avs.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't.
With Bennington in net.
That's their only goalie now because they lost Husso. And they lost Husso.
They should have kept Husso, and they would have actually been a good team because they could have ran that tandem and maybe Bennington would have stopped some pucks.
They decided they wanted to bring back Nick Leddy instead on a 4x4. Yeah, there's an idea.
And guess who makes 4.6 and who's 10 years younger that they could have just traded this future away for another cup run?
Yep. They could have moved Klim Kostin in that deal before he was absolutely worth nothing this year. So now they moved him to Edmonton for Samukarov. And then earlier I was going to mention that the Bruins moved Jack Studnicka to Vancouver, and part of the return was Michael DiPietro. It was the main part. So, yeah, a couple minor moves and we were gone, but nothing big. If there was something big, I know we would have hopped on. But, yeah, it's just, you know, the Central is an interesting one. I thought the Preds would be doing better, and I thought the Jets would be doing worse. But the Jets have responded really, really well to Rick Bonus.
Which is fucking hilarious to me.
I don't think the Stars did bad under Rick Bonus.
No, I didn't think so either, but I just think those are two completely different teams.
Completely different teams. Completely different. So, again, but there's still questions surrounding Winnipeg. You know, but yeah, they're in a playoff spot. They're looking real good right now, but the real
9-4-1.
When you boil it down.
I don't think there's much to question right now.
There is. There is stuff to question.
Maybe Logan Stanley every night instead of, what's his name?
Vinny Hanola.
That young.
Vinny Hanola, my bad.
Probably.
Him. There's a few guys they're playing him over, and it's funny. Logan Stanley, he's like 6 foot fucking nine. I think he's like 6'7" or 6'5". Nah, definitely 6'7".
6'7".
Yeah. But yeah, it's interesting. You know, you look at Winnipeg and it's not what you expected. You know, I expected the turmoil to continue. You know, the Scheifele Wheeler. I mean, Wheeler lost his C, so maybe that has something to do with why they're doing so well. You know, Dubois, obviously there's that drama there that he wants to leave and that Montreal is going to get him in a couple off seasons. You know, there's all of that talk and all of that was over the summer, and nobody talked about Rick Bonus. It just went under the radar. They were talking about Wheeler losing the C. They were talking about Dubois wanting to leave. They were talking about the culture in the locker room. Well, I don't think Rick Bonus takes that shit for an answer.
No, fuck no. Obviously
Rick
not.
Bonus,
they're playing
Rick Bonus
fucking...
is no fuck around.
They're playing great.
Yeah, they're playing incredible. Nick and Rick Bonus, like I said, I mean, Paul Maurice is a little bit of a pushover, I think. He left halfway through the year.
He kind of let the media get to him, I feel like, a little bit.
Yes. Yeah, and he was hilarious, but I don't know if he was the guy who was going to answer the locker room culture issues. And in Florida, you don't have those problems in Florida. When you have a guy like Matthew Tkachuk on your team and Alexander Barkov, who are just gamers, and Ekblad too, you know, you don't really get those problems because the guys are kept in line. Nobody wants to fuck around, especially with Tkachuk, who's coming from a tightly ran ship in Calgary. So,
couldn't agree more.
Yeah, I like it. Any thoughts on the Central for you before we head to the next?
I just am very surprised the Blackhawks aren't lower, but they're also not – I mean, I don't say they're definitely not the worst in the division. I just definitely don't think that they're mid-pack in the division.
No, me neither, especially with their defense. And you know, they're arguably one of their better defensemen, and Seth Jones is injured for long-term. You traded away –
9.5, baby. 9.5.
Speaking of 9-5, you traded away DeBrincat. Wait, did he sign his extension yet? No.
I don't know.
I can't think off the top of my head either. I thought he signed a 9-5x8, but I think I'm wrong. I don't think he's got an extension yet.
I guess we can always come back and talk about it next
we'll
episode. But
I
you
agree.
Know, let's get on to this Pacific. Fuck it.
I do want to say I agree with you. Oh yeah,
with
no,
what?
Fuck the Central. About
the
Blackhawks, they're doing much better than I thought. But when you get game, you know, you got guys like Athanasiu and Domi and Kane and Taves. I guess they just don't.
Their top six is not terrible.
And Luke Richardson is the coach. That was the stupidest thing if you want to tank, is to hire a coach who's going to want to win no matter what. Keep Kyle Davidson at that point. Or not Kyle Davidson, sorry, he's a GM. Keep Jeremy Colleton at that point, because he's shit. You know, or keep Derek King, I guess, whatever. Okay, give me the Pacific, your favorite of all the divisions.
We got the Knights at first with fucking, what is that, 26?
Yeah, John Eichel season, points. The season of Eichel.
Kings, second, 21. Kraken, third, 19. Oh, DB,
your favorite team.
The Oilers with 18, the Flames with 16, the Sharks with 15, the Canucks with 13, and the Ducks with 11. Again, another just crapshoot for who can beat the fucking dungeon.
Yep. Yeah, the Pacific is just a wild division. The Kings are good. That's, you know, you get the Kings. They're good. Vegas is good, and it's almost like someone said that Logan Thompson was going to have a good year. Again, it's early. It's early, so he could definitely, you know, spin out after 30.
I mean, they lost to the Sharks last night, so...
DB, they lost. They always lose the fucking Sharks. The Sharks have Vegas's number. It's like the only team they can beat.
Sharks beat Logan Thompson last night.
The Sharks will end 4-78, and their four wins will be Vegas.
Probably, dude. I swear to God.
Maybe two more against like fucking Anaheim.
And the Yotes. Don't forget that they play the Yotes too.
Yeah, they could take the couple against the Yotes. Yeah. Steal a couple, maybe steal one against Tampa or something, and maybe end the season like, you know, I don't know, 12-70. But yeah, dude, it's, I mean, talk about a team that has the names.
Hey, if you have them winning 12 games, they're halfway there already. So,
no, I have them winning more, I guess. The Sharks are a team that has names. They do, they have names, but they just can't, they just have never been able to, like, get depth behind that line. They haven't even been able to really fill the first line.
The Ducks in last is making me just, like, I don't know. I'm excited. That could be very cool to see.
No.
Connor Bedard skating around in a Mighty Ducks uniform.
Yeah, Disney fucking Mickey Mouse draft. That's what we can call it. Mickey Mouse Bedard.
I mean.
Mickey Mouse franchise.
Hey, it'd be sick. Zegras, Bedard. When McTavish starts to figure it out, you know,
if McTavish gets Bedard, he doesn't have to figure it out. He just has to be there and play how he played in the World Junior Championships last year.
Yeah.
Next when he played with Bedard, they played incredible. So, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. The Ducks are going to be a very fun team to watch. I mean, I just love Zegers pulled that Michigan off a couple games ago now. But oh my god, fuck offsides calls for that. Fuck offsides calls.
DB was betting on that one. DB had Anaheim over Mini.
Yep.
And Anaheim's going to be a fun team to watch in a few years. You know, they've got, you know, Zegras, McTavish. If they get Bedard, that's going to be huge. If they get Michkov, whenever he can come over, you know, while his country destroys the world, whenever he's able to come over after they're done with that little, you know, experiment they're doing. Fuck them. Then he'll be good. He'll be real good there. Or if they get Adam Fantilli even, that's going to be a team that's going to really benefit from one more high draft pick. Because then on the back end, you've got Mintikov. In net, you got Lucas Dostal, who's young. And on the back end, you have Olin Zellweger.
Your favorite, Clayton.
My absolute favorite prospect in the NHL, beside the one who is about, I don't know, an hour and 45 minutes in traffic north, Brant Clark, who I like even more. So maybe not. Yeah, they're tied. Yeah, they're just – it's the prospects on the West Coast right now for hockey – it's
amazing.
Nuts. And add Jack Eichel to the mix as a player on the West Coast. I mean, right now, I could go from Dallas West. You're looking at good teams. Even in Canada, you're looking at good players. Maybe not good teams, but you're looking at the Yotes, who are going to be good in a few years. More, it'll take longer than the other teams. You got the Avs coming off a cup. You got Dallas, who is some of the most fun kids to watch Jake Ottinger, Jason Robertson, Miro Haskinen. You know, I like Thomas Harley, or as fucking Jim Neal said, Harley Thomas. You know, there's a lot of fun guys to watch there. And then that's not even counting Wyatt Johnston. That's not counting Logan Stankoven. That's Jesus not counting Christ. Antonio Stranges. That's just Dallas. That's just Dallas. Mm-hmm. And then you get the Avs coming off a cup win. And they don't even fucking have Landeskog yet back this season. He hasn't played a single game. So, you know, and then up north, we'll give a little shout out to Canada here. You got the Oilers, who are the best player in the NHL, best two players in the NHL, arguably. Holy fuck. Connor McDavid is on pace for like 160-something points. And I wouldn't be shocked if he fucking did it.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't be either. I just think he may slow down with how the Oilers can, you know, hit that midseason skid. But honestly, I don't know if they will. I think they're just playing good hockey. Like, they're not playing. Yeah, I mean, learning, Campbell and Net, yikes, obviously.
They're learning how to play with shit goaltending. So I was going to say, they're so used to it at this point that they're just like, man, this guy's
even fucking worse than Smith. We'll just put up six a night so we don't have to worry.
Yeah, at least this guy can, at least Campbell only lets in five instead of seven. Jeez, there's an upgrade.
Like, literally.
11 goal average.
The Leafs can say the same thing up until, fuck, I don't know.
Samsonov's been good. Samsonov's been real good. And Murray was pretty good. Yeah, now they got Shalgren running back-to-backs. I do want to say something about Toronto, though. Their pregame celebration the other day, ceremony to honor Borj Salming, and we can end on this note. It's a good note to end on. We're around 42 minutes. Their pregame celebration to honor Borj Salming the other day was incredible. They started with an all-Swedish lineup, and they, you know, they honored him for his Hockey Hall of Fame induction. And, you know, he's, I mean, it's known throughout the hockey world and everywhere that he's, you know, he's got ALS. He can no longer speak. And for that honoring and that celebration, just purely emotional. I got to catch some of it, bits and pieces, but just an amazing way to honor one of the greatest defensemen in Toronto Maple Leafs history, if not the greatest. Probably the greatest.
Yeah, the greatest. I was going to say...
Because now I'm looking like, who's close to him? There's no Niedermeyer there. There's no, you know, nobody like that. So, yeah, probably Salming.
Matt Sundin.
Defenseman retard.
That's, yeah, that I was just thinking overseas players and then, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But he, I mean, that's Borj Salming, someone who paved the way for all of those Swedish defensemen who have come in the league prior to this current generation.
And look at all this, how like the NHL is kind of ran by, I don't know. I wouldn't say as of now, it used to be a lot when we were younger. Like, think about it. Like, Lidstrom. Then we have, what's it called? We had OEL in Phoenix. Think about it. OEL was a very big Swedish prospect. Like, he made his debut in Prague. Like, they wanted to make him a big, Like, look at all these guys.
Yep. You look at, you know, especially the teams and even forwards. You know, I've been a big Preds fan for a while now, prior to their cup run. So I'm not a fucking bandwagon. Look at the fucking amount of Swedes that have played on that team or that currently play. You know, they just, in general, look at Colorado. You know, Gabe Landeskog. There's so many fucking more and I'm blanking. But, you know, I mean, that Toronto can start an all-Swedish lineup on that night to honor Borj Salming. You know, his impact on growing that game in Sweden, and then you get the Sedins. And then you get – the Sedins are Swedish, yeah. Right? Yeah, they are. You get, I mean, Salming.
Good
the
job,
Sedins,
Clayton. Good job.
Yeah, I got you, of course. Thanks for the fucking apple. I just fucking self-pass it off the boards to myself and buried it. But it's to see the game grow over there, and he's a huge part in originally having it grow, and I think it was really important that we mentioned that this pod.
No, 100%. Like, he is an influential Swedish hockey player, and I really thought that tribute was just extremely touching, and, you know, it was amazing to see, and all my Leafs hate aside, it was just a great thing for hockey.
Yeah, it was. And then to watch the Leafs fucking shit on the Penguins last night was even more incredible. Or no, less incredible for sure, but very incredible too. So, all right, DB, I got a men's league game tonight, so gonna have to talk about that next pod, but yeah.
Okay, here we go. Hopefully you don't take fucking more penalties.
Dash three with four PIMs my first game this season. No points. Let's go. All right,
DB. That's tough.
That is tough. Well, I'll see you on the sticks in a few minutes.
See ya.
Thanks, everybody. We're glad to be back.
Peace.